That's the Del Amo Mall. And tucked into an urban area of Torrance behind the Del Amo Mall is a small green oasis, the Madrona Marsh. It's a seasonal wetland on the former site of oil wells. It's home to native plants, small wildlife and reptiles, and it welcomes migrating waterfowl. This is a special and surprising corner of the South Bay. This is Madrona Marsh, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. This is really the most amount of water they have in the marsh right now. This is what's referred to as the sump. And this is Liz Evans. She's the manager of this marsh and also a naturalist. And tell me a little bit about this water we're looking at right by us.
Okay, so this is a stormwater retention basin. All of the water in our city floods into here.
And that's when it rains.
That's when it rains, yes. And we can either keep it here for wildlife, we can pump it out onto the preserve to make the marsh itself wetter, or we can send it straight out to the ocean.
Why is this important? Because it's not always wet here.
Right. So what we're trying to do on the marsh is create as much habitat space as we can. So in years of drought, we're able to take this water and put it on the preserve. That enables the waterfowl, the ducks and the geese, to be able to raise their young to maturity in time before all the water runs away. They need a certain amount of water in order to get their young to adulthood.
And so we're this is not a wet marsh. I mean, this is what's referred to as a vernal marsh.
Yes.
And that means?
That means that it is fed by rainwaters in the spring. Vernal means spring. It's fresh water because it's only rainwater, not ocean water. And it fills up in the winter, in the spring, and by the summer, it's completely dry.
It's so interesting to see something like this, like an oasis, really,
yeah,
in the middle of a place like Torrance,
yes,
right by a mall.
Yes.
I mean, what's the origin of this? Tell us about it.
So initially, this was oil lands. It was owned by oil and a rail line company. And as the city of Torrance was really developing in the 70s, the city wanted to keep more open space and more natural space available for people. But they knew that as a city, they couldn't just come in and take the land because it was privately owned. There were a lot of citizens who were really concerned that this area was going to get developed in much the way everything else around here is. And so the city and the citizens got together and they formed 501(c) that was organizing in order to protect this marsh.
That's referred to as?
The Friends of Madrona Marsh.
Right, and yeah, you are very close to
yes,
the center itself, yes, and the Friends.
Yeah, the city staff, like myself, works very closely hand-in-hand with the folks at the Friends of Madrona Marsh.
You mentioned oil refiners.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes before you have oil, you have prehistoric animals.
Yes.
So any evidence here of dinosaurs or anything like that?
Yeah, in fact, before the marsh was officially saved, before there was a fence line around it, these young boys, these local boys, were riding their dirt bikes through the preserve, jumping over things. And they crashed their bike into something in the ground, this rock. And when they excavated it and they dug it up, it was the jawbone of a woolly mammoth. And so they found that.
How big was it?
It was about yay, so like maybe a foot and a half across. Each tooth is like the size of a softball.
And you have that here at
yes,
the center.
They donated it to us and we have it on display in the Nature Center.
What does that sort of tell you as a naturalist?
That this place was alive. It was full of wildlife then. It's full of wildlife now. And that the layers underneath are full of history. That so much goes back here. There's so much that's unique. We're not that disconnected from the La Brea Tar Pits that's further up in LA. We're not that disconnected from all these other places that have this rich geological history.
And from what I understand, the Bayona Wetlands, which is over one way
that
or
way,
the other.
Yeah, that way. Yeah.
It's over that way, maybe.
Yeah.
That was at some point connected to this because yes, it was all wet.
Yes, all of this was a marshland. So all of this, the area we think of as the South Bay, but really from Bayona down to Palos Verdes, and then even east of us towards Harbor City, Long Beach, would seasonally flood. And people could sail their canoes from Long Beach to Torrance to Marina Del Rey and
oh,
back.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be?
Oh. And so I want to talk a little bit about why this water is important to the natural habitat.
Right. So as a marshland, we don't have that much space like that anymore in Torrance. We don't have that much space like that in LA. We've built upon it. But the water is important because it supports wildlife. It supports waterfowl, animals, insects, butterflies that all need somewhere to go. It's also important for us here because it replenishes our groundwater. and it comes into part of the city's drinking water system. So it gets purified, run through sanitation districts, and Madrona Marsh is actually the largest water retention basin in the city of Torrance.
So if I got that right, what we're basically saying is that if you live in Torrance, some of the water that comes through here is water you'll end up drinking after it's filtered.
Yes.
How's it filtered?
It's filtered through sanitation districts, the drinking water is. So they process it in their stormwater processing plants. Here, we also have a biofilter on site that helps clean the water before we put it out on the preserve. It removes particulate matter, it removes debris and pollution, and it cleanses it of bacteria with these cool UV filters.
You know, as I look out on this water, I see these little bubbles percolating up, kind of like if you threw a pebble across it. What am I seeing?
Some of that are bullfrogs and tree frogs. Some of that are other water invertebrates.
This is their home.
Daphnia, yes.
This is where they live.
Yes, and this is what, when we see birds come and land here, that's what they're looking for to eat. It's their food source. And so when we see those strikes, we know that we have a healthy ecosystem.
And the ecosystem here is what it's all about.
Yes.
And ecosystem, describe.
So an ecosystem is a relationship between different living things. It is the relationship between the plants, the soil, the water, and the animals all together, and how that all hangs together, how they all help each other.
Of the things we're going to see in the upcoming segments will be how all this comes together. And the wildlife, and the birds, and the fish. You talk about critters out here. What do you got in here?
So this is a vernal pool. What that is essentially a giant puddle, and it's a totally self-contained ecosystem. So things that live in here don't live in the freshwater marsh. They don't live in the ocean.
And like what?
A fairy shrimp. So a fairy shrimp's a microscopic invertebrate about this big with 11 legs, and it breathes through its legs, and it's the prime type of food for a lot of birds.
So their life cycle is very short, right?
Yes, they have a very short life cycle. They will hatch, live their whole life in about 3 weeks, and then they will lay their eggs, and they will stay dormant until the next season.
What kind of camera is that, and how many of these do you have?
This is a camera trap. It's motion detected to capture animals, and we've got 9 of them here.
Well, what kind of animals have you captured on camera?
We've seen raccoons, we've seen skunks, possums, rabbits, king snakes, gopher snakes, lizards, birds.
What's the most unusual thing you've seen?
We saw a skunk chase 2 coyotes away.
Wait a minute. A skunk chasing, it sounds like a joke. Go ahead, I'm ready for the punchline.
You see one coyote moving through, they just move through here as they do through most of the South Bay, and then another one, and then they scurry off, and then in comes the skunk.
Amazing. Liz Evans, thank you so much. We'll have more from Madrona Marsh right after this break. Don't go away. This is Susan Huber with the Friends of Madrona Marsh. She's the president of the organization. And if it wasn't for your organization, that over there, Del Amo Mall, is what this over here might look like. But because of this organization, this is what it is. So tell me about the organization, how it started, and the statement I just made. If it wasn't for your group, this might look like Del Amo Mall.
Well, you're right. You're right. Del Amo Mall and or condos, one of the two. And Friends of Madrona Marsh and other friends and supporters were instrumental in making that happen.
And so as we look out here and we see the water and we see the ducks and we see how beautiful this is, your organization's role in all of this?
Well, the origin story, Friends of Madrona Marsh, is Save Our Swamp, SOS. Group of citizens wanted to preserve this. The city supported that. The state supported that. The state helped us build a building and thousands and hundreds of volunteers. One of our early volunteers was Congressman Ted Lieu, who helped us fundraise. He helped us selling donuts back in the early 70s.
So you got this organization, been around for what, 50 years come August?
50 years come August,
And
yes.
what are you doing in August?
Oh, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a big party celebration / fundraiser because we can't just party with our funds. We have to also fundraise. We have some great auction things going on.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Depot Restaurant in Old Torrance.
What kind of money do you try to get out of a fundraiser like this?
We try for $20,000. That would be great to clear. We plow almost all of that right back into the marsh.
And how do you use $20,000 into the marsh?
Well, we use more than half of that would go into the preserve. We hire contractors to weed out the non-natives or the invasive species, to plant more native species. and to make the marsh as wild and natural and inviting to other species, other animals as possible.
The truth is that as I look at the mall and I look over here and I listen to the little birds chirping up there in the tree, what a contrast.
It is, yeah, it is. It's an amazing contrast. And we have discovered that other people truly recognize that. Last year we had more than 21,000 visitors come here. So far this year, from January to June, we've had over 11,000. It's increasing, more and more people.
You're a volunteer.
I am.
You give tours.
I do.
What would somebody expect if they come here and end up in your tour group?
A conversation, pretty much. It's you got to read the group, whether it's a school age group or whether they're adults. You kind of read the group and see what are they interested in, and they bring knowledge too. They bring information. They know what's in their backyards. They know what they see when they drive by, and they want to talk about that.
I'm hearing that really lovely chirp of, what is that?
Yeah, that's a red-winged blackbird.
The red-winged blackbird?
Yeah, yeah.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
And so these are very native to this area.
Oh, yes.
And what are the things you like most about this place?
The intertwining of nature. John Muir made a quote a long time back about, if you pick at one thing in nature, then you find it's connected to everything in the universe. We look at it more as, instead of picking one thing, why not follow that one thing and find all the connections there are in nature? It is amazing. It just blows you away.
So you've been working out here as a volunteer for how long?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. In that 10 years, you came in here, you had some knowledge, but you came in here and you've worked constantly. And what's blown you away?
The interest of people that come here, the way they come in, sometimes a little grumpy. I've often volunteered as a receptionist at the front gate or the front desk. And sometimes they come in a little grumpy, quiet, yeah, hi, how are you? But they don't walk out that way. They walk out with energy and smiling. It's transformative walking around in here.
It's peaceful.
It is peaceful. And there's a ton of oxygen. Everything, all the green leaves are giving off oxygen and in turn absorbing carbon dioxide. And you just get the sense, a feeling of you're, as humans, are part of this as well.
Is that how you are?
Yeah.
You have a bad day, come over here, all of a sudden it's like taking two aspirin or a bowl of chicken soup?
Or a glass of wine. Yeah, they're all in the same part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is helpful on a lot of different levels, right?
Oh, yeah. We get letters. I got a letter one time from a man. His brother was dying at Torrance Memorial, which is not too far away. And he would come on breaks. He would stay with his brother. And he would come on breaks here, and he would walk, and he would say how peaceful he felt when he left.
Great medicine. Bottom line, website for people to get information?
Friendsofmadronamarsh.com.
Okay, and we'll continue with more on Madrona Marsh right after this break. See you on the other side. Madrona Marsh Preserve in the city of Torrance. We started here at the sump at the very beginning of our show, worked our way around down to where the North Pond is, and now we're what's called the Nature Center. And here they have all kinds of exhibits, they have all kinds of things going on, even sort of an advertisement or a promotion for their 50th anniversary fundraiser, the Friends of Madrona Marsh. And welcome back, Liz. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Right. So this is going to be happening on August 11th at noon. It's at the Depot Restaurant down in Torrance, but it's going to feature an entire Taste of Torrance. So several different restaurants are going to come there with their tasty bites. And then they have an auction for fundraising. Some of the auction items include Dodgers tickets, field level, membership to the South End Racquet Club, night at the Hollywood Bowl. So lots of things that can raise funds for them to help continue supporting the center and the preserve.
If everyone remembers, we were out in the marsh. We were in the pool where that critter lives. That's the?
This is the fairy shrimp that lives in the vernal pools.
And you've got so many of those.
Yes, we do.
But you have a lot of critters, for lack of a better word, right here at this nature center. Let's start right behind this display. Let's go over here. Tell me about this little fella.
This is a western toad. This is something that's common in the marsh and common to this area. It's been extirpated locally, which means it's no longer here, but it is in the general Southern California area. And this little guy is here so that we can help educate the public about
when you have children come through, school students, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about here, we're talking about this nature center. Tell me about that, the purpose of it.
So this was built in the late 90s, construction completed in the early 2000s. It's an 8,000 square foot facility that's right across the street from the preserve. And we have this here so that we can have people come of all ages and learn about their environment, learn about the natural history of the South Bay. We do school tours here, we do college level tours. And it's a great opportunity for folks to interact with live animals, to see exhibit specimens, and to do different programs.
What is it you think is your most dramatic thing here?
Everyone loves our snakes. They love Scooby.
And I have to tell you, I'm not a big snake fan.
You're not? You don't want us to put her around you? Everyone here loves Scooby. They love Nala, our king snake. And especially when we have kids come through, it's often their first opportunity to handle a reptile. And you can see them just glow and light up when they get to touch the skin, when they get to hold it and feel the weight of the creature. And it really brings home for them that the preserve outside is those creatures' homes. And by maintaining it, we're making space for those animals to live.
How you doing? Huh? My name's Hal.
There's a couple other nature centers around, but they don't necessarily have the live animal creatures that we have here. They don't necessarily have an entire exhibit hall with taxidermy. And then we're really the natural history museum for the South Bay. So here locally, this is it.
One of the things that caught my attention was the saber-toothed tiger. Tell me about that.
So back in the day, this would have been their habitat.
When I was a kid?
Yes, a little earlier than that.
Oh, okay.
This would have been their territory where they were roaming around. They were eliminated through predation in part by the early people of the time. But this is their territory. And when you think about the mountain lions we have now, like the famous P-22 and some other ones, those are the descendants of those great saber-toothed cats.
You know, I know one of the things that I've heard you and others talk about here that's so important is making room for them.
Yes. Yeah, so we are in a dense area, but the wildlife was already here, and they're gonna come find it, and they're gonna find their home. And so rather than having all these critters show up in your backyard, we've made space for them here, where they can interact, they can live their natural life, and we can learn from them while also providing a space for them to be able to raise their young.
That brings up a question in my mind. I mean, we hear about sightings of coyotes and other wild cats, and do they come over here naturally, or do rangers bring them over here to try to give them a place where they might be comfortable?
So they come naturally. Well, we don't have any of the cats. We don't have any mountain lions here. But we do have coyotes that move through Torrance, as they do all the communities in LA County, basically. And what they find here is food. So they find gophers, they find rabbits, they find smaller birds. That's keeping them out of our neighborhoods. It's keeping them out of our backyards, and it's protecting our domestic pets, because there's a space for them to go, and there's a space for them to feed.
We saw a lot of ducks, an egret.
Yes.
What was that, red wing?
The red wing blackbird.
Yeah, I saw some of that. Didn't seem like it was overly populated in the marsh right now.
You gotta come early.
In the morning?
Yeah, if you're here at 7 in the morning, when we're not open to the public 7 in the morning, in part because we leave that space for the wildlife so that they can do what they need to do, so that they can feed, they can breed, they can nest. But if you're here early in the morning, it is birds galore.
You have all kinds of critters here. Yeah, tell me about the snake.
So this is Nala. She's one of the king snakes that lives here. Right now you can see her. She's cooling off by crawling through her water dish, and she's tasting the air with her tongue.
She seems pretty active right now.
Yeah, she is pretty active. She's awake. Now, she came here because she was already in the preserve, and she was found injured. And so they brought her inside to give her medical attention, and it was determined that she couldn't be released to the wild, so now she's one of our ambassador animals.
And so a lot of the snakes that you have, a lot of the reptiles that you have, these are rescues.
Yes, there are other people who had them as pets, you know, the misguided pet choice, and they didn't know what to do with them, so they brought them to us. Or they were actually in the preserve and injured, and we brought them in.
You have a fairly large exhibit hall where you have words about what something is and then pictures. And that's an important feature of the Nature Center.
Yes, that is to educate folks about the types of wildlife they'll see, the types of ecosystems they'll see, and the history of this place, the way people related to land in the past and the present.
I know we alluded to it earlier, but there is such a focus on students, such a focus on education. Such, and I think Nala's listening to us. I see the little head bobbing up there. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, she likes you.
I think she does, but I'm not a big, okay. We can be friends, okay? But go ahead and tell me about that educational focus.
So we do a lot of school trips here. We have a lot of kids from kindergarten up through 12th grade that come through. They learn about environmental education, environmental history, environmental studies while they're here. They do a lot of that curricula while they're here. We also have a lot of kids who choose to do their school science project here, and they use the preserve as their laboratory. We have a lab here, so they use our equipment. They do their field samples and their testing and their studies and then write up their research papers. We also have a few college students who are working on their master's degrees with us. And so that's really cool too, because all of that research and it's really valuable for us and how we manage the preserve.
What do you learn from that?
Well, we learn, for example, like when the fairy shrimp will hatch based on the temperature and the pH and the depth of those vernal pools. We'll learn about which birds are visiting which trees to migrate.
And what do you call this area right here?
This is the native garden.
And that's coastal sage scrub, and that's native to the area?
Yes.
And so what do people learn here?
Here they learn, this is like a demonstration garden, and so they learn things they could plant in their own yards that are beautiful, low water, drought tolerant, and attract wildlife like hummingbirds and other types of butterflies.
Cactus, yes. Succulents, things like that.
Exactly.
And that's not important just for preservation purposes and educational purposes. It's also important for people's homes for conservation purposes.
Absolutely. We want folks to realize that they're part of nature too, and they can help support nature by making different kinds of choices in their home gardens.
The manager of the Madrona Marsh, Liz Evans. Thank you so much. I've learned a lot today. Fox 11 News In Depth continues right after this break. You can hear an audio version of this program. Just go to my podcast, What the Hal. It's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us for this special edition. I'm Hal Eisner. We'll see you next time. Have a great week, everybody.